Tonight's shiur divided into two parts. First, some divrei Torah on Purim, and afterwards we'll move on to the Sedra Kisisa. Pasuk says in Megillah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, V'mos avia v'ima l'kacham Mordechai lo levas. That after Esther's, she lost her mother, her father, then l'kacham Mordechai lo levas, he took her levas. Levas sounds like took her as a daughter. Because I'll tell us, the Gemara in Megillah, I'll tikri levas ela labais. Don't read it, took it her as a daughter, but rather labais as a bais. What does a bais mean? It means a house. So we know as a, literally, but it means the as a wife. We see from the, in the Torah it says by the Kohen, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso. And the bais is referring to a wife. So Mordechai took Esther as a wife. It's an interesting vort. Why is it that Esther was called, who was the wife of Mordechai, why does it pasuk say then, levas, as a daughter? So the word for wife, we said, is bais. Why bais? Based on the Gemara in Ksubas, on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, there's different opinions over there. And one opinion says that ain isha ela labani, that a wife is only for children. Another opinion is ain isha ela liyofi, a woman's only for her beauty. And the third opinion is ain isha ela latachshita isha, a woman's only for her adornments, her jewelry. So we have either labanim, or yofi, or tachshitim. What are the Rashi Tevis of those three things? Banim is beis, yofi is yud, and tachshitim is taf, bais. Ah, so now let's move on to Esther. Chazal also tell us that Esther, however, she didn't have the beauty aspect. One opinion says in the Gemara that Esther, you're a crocus haisa. She was green, wasn't very pretty. Mimela, she was missing the what? The yud, the yofi. So all she had was the base, which is the banim, and the taf, which is the tachshitim. So therefore, Mordechai took her a levas, the base taf, because she was missing the yud, she was missing the yofi. Therefore, the Torah calls her bas instead of bais. Beginning of Perek Gimel, so the chard v'meila gidal ha-melech ha-chashverosh ha-sama. So the Pischei Torah says, asks, why Dafka now? We just finished in the Megillah hearing of how Esther told King Ahasuerus that there was a plan to, a couple of people were planning to assassinate him, big son of Atarash, and she reported in Mordechai's name, etc. And then we move on and says, oh, ach ar drima ela, after these things, Gidal Hama Hamelech Ahasuerus at Haman. Oh, he raised up Haman. What's the connection? Why was one thing have to do with the other? Esther reporting about the attempted assassination of Ahasuerus, and he hears this, oh, Gidal, he raises up Haman. So he explains the following. He says, the Midrash says that after Ahasuerus had Vashti killed, he was drunk at the time, the party. So after he became sober, he got very angry at Haman. He says, why did you give me an eitzah to kill my wife Vashti? He's very angry at him. However, now things changed around. Because what happened? Lamaisa Vashti was killed, so he needed a new queen. Who did he take? Esther. And Esther, as we just saw, was the one that reported to him that these two guys were trying to assassinate him. So what? Esther saved his life. Comes out that now Ahasuerus became very indebted to Haman. He says, boy, you know, luckily he had my wife Vashti killed so that Esther should come into the picture. And Esther, because she was the one that reported to me that these guys were going to assassinate me. Had she not reported, I would have been killed. So, indirectly, it was all because of Haman, because he had Vashti killed, that Esther came in and saved my life. So he became indebted to Haman. Mimela, that's why, Achard Vimela, after he heard what Esther said about the attempted assassination, then, Gidal Hamal Ahasuerus of Haman. The Ohev Yisrael is a beautiful vort. Says that at the second banquet, Achashverosh again asks Esther, "What do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give you," etc. So she said, tells him the following. He said, "Listen, you want to know what I want? Give me my nation. Why? We were sold to be wiped out. If we were sold as slaves, okay, if that was the decree, then hecharashti, I would have been quiet. But that's not the case. We were sold to be killed." And then, Vayomer Melech Hashverosh, Vayomer Lashem HaMalka, he says to Esther, "Mi uzeh vezu Hashem alor libasason?" Hey, who's the one that wants to kill you guys? So, Ovi Yisrael has three questions over here. Question number one is, what's the language over here? Ki nimkarnu, we were sold to be wiped out. What is sold to be wiped out? Not sold to be wiped out. It was just said that we were decreed upon to be wiped out. Nigzar aleinu, whatever. Why sold? Secondly, what's this, Bechlal, she says after that, that Ilu, if for slaves, Lavadim Lishfachos, Nimkarnu, if we were sold to be slaves, then Echarashtia, be quiet. What does this got to do with anything? Slaves, sold to slaves, quiet. Who's talking about slaves over here? And thirdly, after, you know, she tells Achashverosh this, what does he say? Miuzevezu, who wants to do this and wants to kill you guys? What do you mean? Is he playing dumb? Achashverosh knew, Gansfai knew it was. He was the one that signed the letter that Haman wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. He himself, well, all of a sudden, hey, who's this guy? What do you mean, who's this guy? You knew Haman came to you and you signed on it. So he answers these questions based on a maysa. There was once a time of Rav Shira Gaon. There was a very, very wealthy man, and he had in his possession the Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra Sofer himself. And of course, it was very, very valuable, worth tremendous, tremendous sums of money. And eventually, this man got old, and he was nifter. So he had two sons, and both sons were very anxious, each one, to get their hand on the Sefer Torah. So they were willing to mevater on their whole Yerusha just to get the Sefer Torah. But they're both interested, both wanted it, and nobody was willing to give in. So dear to them, the Sefer. So they brought it to a Din Torah. So the decision was, no other way to do it. They have to draw lots. Whoever wins will win the Sefer Torah. So they drew lots, and one of the brothers, of course, won, and the Sefer Torah was given to him. And accordingly, he was mevater on the rest of Yerusha. So there was in the city, a apikoros, a mumer, and he was very upset. He couldn't believe. He said, how could a guy be so, you know, to give up his entire Yerusha for a Sefer Torah? It just bothered him. And so he says, I'm going to show him. So what did he do? He disguised himself, and he came to Shul one night, or Marav, and he kind of hid in the corner. Nobody could see him. And he waited until everybody left the Shul, and they locked up the Shul. Then, when everything was quiet, he went into the Aron HaKodesh, opened up, took out the Sefer Torah, Ezra's Sefer Torah, you know, from this guide. It was in the Aron. And he opened it up, and he looked, you know, where it was open to, and he saw the pasuk. Said in the pasuk, "Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem uveirachas lachmecha." You should serve Hashem, avadatem Hashem Elokeichem, and then Hashem will bless you with bread, etc., etc. So, what did he do, Sapikoras? He took a razor, and he erased the ayin in the word "vavadatem," which means you should serve Hashem, and he changed it to an aleph. Rachamal Islan, which means, and you should wipe out Hashem. Vavadatim with an aleph, right? Ibud, to wipe out. So instead of you should serve Hashem, you should wipe Hashem out, Rachamal Islan. And he let the ink dry, rolled it up, and put it back into the yarn. What happened? They took out the Sefer Torah a few days later, whatever, to Elaine, and sure enough, the Balkore's eyes almost popped out. Like, what? He sees that instead of Vavadatim with an aleph. So he showed everybody what's going on, a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Sure enough, you know. So all of a sudden, this Sefer Torah, which was worth thousands and thousands, just dropped, plummeted. Why? Because they said, well, it's obviously not Ezra's Sefer Torah, because Ezra wouldn't make a mistake like this and write an ayin instead of an aleph instead of a nayin. And this brother that, you know, inherited the Sefer Torah, he was finished. It destroyed, it's like, he gave up his whole Yerusha for this. And now he had nothing, and he was so upset, he almost made him sick. What happened? One night, his father comes to him, was no longer alive, comes to him in a dream. And he says, listen, don't be so upset. It was all a setup. It's not, this really is Ezra Sefer Torah. And the mistake was no mistake. This so-and-so, you know, this Mumer came in and he changed it. He told him the whole story. And he said, don't worry, he already got his. He says, why? What did he do? He changed the ayin, right, to an aleph. He said, he already lost his eye. Right, his eye fell out. It's underneath his table in his house, and as Mekuyam the pasuk ayin tachas ayin, he took out the ayin and Sefer Torah. He lost his eye, so he's got taken care of already. What about the Sefer Torah? He says, I'm telling you, don't touch it, don't fix it, leave it as it is, because Ezra, a sofer himself, is going to come fix it. So just leave it. So he left the Sefer Torah. Sure enough, next time they opened the Sefer Torah, the aleph was back to ayin. It's the story. Mimele, so too over here. What happened? Haman, at first, he wanted to, you know, wipe out the Jewish people. But he didn't want to come to Achashverosh, you know, straight out and says, hey, let's kill all the Jewish people. So what did he do? He disguised it as, I want to buy the Jewish people. I want them to work for me. Avadim, right? That's all. You know, I'm going to kill them. So work for me. It should be my Avadim. So Achashverosh, this is okay, you know, so fine, you know, you can want it to work for you, to be slaves, okay, I agree. He signed on it. Well, what did he sign on? They should be slaves. Meaning, it said in the Igeres, right, la'avdam, to work, that they should work with an ayin. What did Haman the Rasha do after he got the signed letters from Achashverosh? He turned the ayin to an aleph. Instead of la'avdam, to serve them, he turned it to la'avdam with an aleph to wipe them out. Exactly like we saw in the story. He changed the eye into an aleph. Mimele, now everything is clear. All the questions are answered. Right? We ask, what does this mean when it says that, she says, kinim karnu lahashmin? What do you mean sold to get wiped out? What is selling to get wiped out? Terence is that, yeah, Haman disguised it as a sale, but it was really to get wiped out. And we ask, what is this thing that Esther is saying, that if it was to be slaves, then Echrashti, I would be quiet. We said, what does a slave selling the slaves have to do with anything? Coin is beautiful. Because that's exactly what happened. Originally, you know, Haman made it out as if they're being sold as slaves. So now Esther is saying, if that's really what it would have been, had he not erased the ayin and turned it olive, Echrashti, I'd be quiet. It would be okay. Okay, at least the slave's not terrible. But that wasn't the case. Now we can also answer the last question. We said, what is Achashverosh saying over here? What do you mean, Muzeh? You don't know? You're the one that signed the letters that they should be wiped out. Terence says, no, he didn't sign. He signed that they should be slaves. He didn't know that Haman changed the ayin to an aleph. So Mele, when he heard now that somebody wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, he goes, I never signed anything, somebody that they should be wiped out. I signed Haman's thing, you know, they should be sold, but not to get wiped out. And therefore he said, Muzev Ezehu, to want to wipe out the Jewish people. Everything's beautiful. These others say a similar vort. They asked for Chaim Kanievsky that only one problem, Achura, because this is very nice, but that's only if the letters were written in Hebrew. But, you know, Mistama, you know, Achashverosh and Haman didn't write out La'abdam with an I and he changed to Aleph. That's it was written in Hebrew. So So Chaim said that these are, all the Semitic languages are very, very similar. So it could very well be that they have the similarities that it would work in the languages of the that were spoken in the Persia at the time. Okay, let's go on. After which, Vayomer Charvona. So Charvona came along and said, right, he was a chad miyasarisim lifnei melech. He said, "Gam minei aitz asher asa Haman la Mordechai asher dibertov al melech." says this gallows that Mordechai, that Haman made to hang Mordechai on, Omed beveis Haman, gavoh 50 yamas high, and here it is, there it is, you see it? So vayor melech, very good, tlu alav, so hang Haman on it. So it sounds like Charvona, you know, is big tzaddik. And we say, in fact, in Shoshanas Yaakov, you know, Charvona is Zachor Latov. But Chazal tell us something different. The Gemara Megillah on Tanzayin says, Af Charvona Rasha Be'ota Eitzahaya. He was a Rasha in this Eitzah, Litlos Es Mordechai. In other words, he also had a hand, he also wanted Mordechai hanged, exactly like Haman did. So the question is obvious. Frag the Magi Midubno. Where did Chazal see something like this? Lafek, we see this Charvona saying, "Oh, looking, here's the gallows. Here, let Haman be hung." Okay, and they hanged Haman. So we see he was a good guy. You know, how did Chazal see here that Charvona was a Russian and wanted to have Mordechai killed also? So he says answers for a change with the mashal. Says the Magi Midubno, there was once a very, very poor blind man. And he used to go knocking on doors, collecting a shekel here, a shekel there. So finally, he collected like 30 shekels, and he had in his bag. And he used to have this boy, he used to, you know, help him out and, you know, help him walk, because he was blind, you know, help him walk. So this boy, you know, saw this 30 shekels and he, you know, got a little taiva for money. And he said, hey, you know, blind guy can't see anyway. So he took the 30 shekels for himself. So what happens? The blind man puts his hand in his wallet, you know, and empty. And he couldn't believe it. So what? He says, where's my money? I had money in here. It's gone. What am I going to do? I need this money. And what am I going to eat? And it destroyed him. He was crying bitterly. Anyways, this boy saw this and he broke his heart. He says, you know, I really shouldn't have done that. So look at this. So he decided that he's, you know, play the game. And he said to the blind man, he said, listen, I have good news for you. So he says, what? He goes, I found your money. Yeah? He says, yeah, here's your 30 shekels. It's here. I found it. So he gives the old man, the poor man, his 30 shekels. The poor man takes out a stick and starts beating the kid. He says, what are you doing? He's beating him. He says, why? What are you? He says, I don't understand. I found your money and I'm returning it to you. So why are you beating me? He says, yeah, you found my money. You gun of... So you stole my money to begin with. So he says, how did you know? How did you know I stole your money? He says, very simple. He says, because how did you know that I had exactly lost 30 shekels? You said, I found your 30 shekels. I never said how much money I lost. Because I found your 30 shekels. How did you know it was 30 shekels? Obviously, because you're the one that stole it, so you knew it was 30 shekels. Memele says, Magi Midubno, same thing over here. Right? How did Chazal see that Charvona, you know, he was in the Eitzah wanting to kill Mordechai? How did they even see this? Teretz is, because what did it say in the Pasuk? Gamine Eitzah Asher Asah Haman LeMordechai. This is Charvona talking, right? The gallows that Haman made to kill Mordechai. Asher Dibre Tov Alamelech. Omed Bebeis Haman. Gavoa Chamishi Mama. How did Charvona know that it was exactly 50 yamas? This is the gallows. He said, there is it. Oh, Kavoa Chamishi Mama. There it is. The gallows 50 yamas high. How did he know that? Teretz says, it must be, Chazal saw, it must be that he was in the Yosa Eitzah. He was involved with the Eitzah of making the gallows, so therefore that's how he knew it was 50 yamas. Okay. Let's go into the Parsha a little bit. We'll lead into the Parsha. So some Ramazim from Purim in this Sedra, because very often, most years, regular years, Kisisa falls out to Purim time. So some Ramazim and Purim in our Parsha. First of all, the Parsha begins with Machatzis HaShekel, of course, Kisisa, Sorsh B'nai Yisrael. So it says that who has to give? Kol Over Al Pkudim Miben Esrim Shana V'mala Yitain Trumas Hashem. First of all, Baal Turim says that Ben Esrim Shana, the Sofei Tevas is Nun He Mem He, which is Haman. Next, we know in Stamazoi, right? Chazal tell us that Hashem commanded to give the Machasis a shekel to offset them, the shkalim that Haman wanted to gave to Achashverosh to kill the Jewish people. So that's a clear remez. Also, the Rokeach says that the who does Haman come from? Who was his grandfather? Esav. So it's also Merumaz. We said Miben Esrim Shana Vamala is the Rashi Tevez, Esrim Shana Vamala Esav. The Rebbe Eliezer Migarmiza says also in the pasuk here, Hashekel Truma Lashem is Rashi Tevez Tala, which is the remez that Haman was hanged, and Ish Kofer Nafsho. Ish Kofer Nafsho, the Rashi Tevez spells Achain. What is Achain? Nothing. But it's the Gematria 71 which is significant. Gematria 71, how is that significant? Because the we are told by the Manos Levi that there were that Haman, from the time we saw Gidal Melech, when Achashverosh raised up Haman until he got was hanged, there were 71 days. So Rebbe, these 71 days we find in these the first letters of Ish Kofer Nafsho. Okay, this week's Sedra mentions the Inyan of Shabbos. For Shamru, we have Shamru Bnei Yisrael Shel Shabbos. It's interesting, Sfasemis. The Sfasemis tells us that the Torah that one learns on Shabbos, Ein Bo Shichacha. It's hard to forget the Torah one learns on Shabbos. It stays in one's memory for a long time. Dafka the Torah one learns on Shabbos. And there's a mice with someone who came to the Satmar Rav and says, Rebbe, you know, I can't remember. Ever I learn, I forget. I learn, I forget. I learn, I can't remember. So, in fact, what does Satmar Rav tell him? Here's your Eitzah, right? On Shabbos, go over what you learned during the week. Do Chazara. Go over everything. And since Shabbos, you know, as a skula, you don't forget what you learn on Shabbos. So if you go over everything on Shabbos, you remember what you learn. And we find a remez of this in the Zemer we say Friday night. What do we say? Zichru Torah Moshe b'mitzvah Shabbos Kirusa. How is the remez? Zichru, you want to remember Zichru. You want to remember Zichru Torah Moshe. So what should you do? B'mitzvah Shabbos Kirusa. Gerus. You should learn on Shabbos. You learn on Shabbos and Zichru Torah Moshe. Remember the Torah. I was thinking, add my 2 cents. That why is it like that? Why did Hashem make it that Dafka Shabbos, you know, you remember you're learning on Shabbos? So why? So thinking, very simple. Because what happens, person, imagine you're learning Friday night, you know, and you come up with a great Kiddush. You know, you're learning Gemara and Sugya. Ah, wonderful Kiddush. So what would you normally do during the week? Of course, write it down. Right? You don't want to forget. You come with this great Kiddush, you write it down. But you can't write it down on Shabbos. What are you going to do? Nothing. You have to, what's going to be? It comes Motzei Shabbos, how am I going to remember 24 hours ago I had this beautiful Kiddush, but then you forget it. So therefore Hashem, Dafka made it that you don't have to worry. It says what you learn on Shabbos you don't forget. To offset the danger of forgetting because you can't write down on Shabbos. Kach nir l'nias daiti. Pasuk says, Gabi the Egel, it says, V'yar Aaron, V'yiven Mizbeach Lefana, V'yikre Aaron, V'yomer Chag Hashem Machar. So, literally it says that Aaron saw, and that what the people were doing, making the Egel, so he built an altar in front of it, and he said, Chag Hashem Machar, etc. So, Rashi says that there's a hint to something that happened, which is not explicit in the Torah over here. What's that? Rashi said, V'yiven Mizbeach Lefanav, is referring to the fact that Aaron saw how Hur, his nephew, rebuked the people. You know, when he saw they wanted to make an egel, he rebuked them, and the people got upset at him, and they killed him. They killed Hur. And because of that, Aaron said, I'm not going to rebuke them, because I don't want to be the next Corbin over here. So he played along with them, hoping Moshe would come down. And there's a hint to this, says Rashi, Vayivin is Lashon Bina, understanding. What did Aaron understand? Mizevach lefanav is lashon mizavuach, right? The one that was shechted, that Hur was shechted. Aaron understood this. Said, you know, see what happens when you're mechuyach these people. So I better, you know, stay, not do this, etc. Hinted to in the pasuk. So there's a fantastic Chaim Falaji. He says the following. He asks, he says, you know, this thing that Hur did, tremendous mesiris nefesh. Why didn't the Torah write it explicitly? You know, you think the Torah would have a nice parsha about what Hur did, how they came up to Hur, and he said, no, you can't do this, and they came and they killed him, moser nefesh for Hashem, which Aaron didn't do. Why didn't the Torah write about it? We have to learn it in Vayiven Mizbeach. It's Vayiven, he understood. It's the whole thing. Why not say Beferish? So he says an unbelievable idea. He says, you know why the Torah didn't write a Beferish? Because what he did was not right, 100%. And therefore the Torah didn't want to record it. Why not? He says, because the Gemara says that when one gives tochacha, how much do you have to give tochacha? You have to keep doing it again and again. Until what point? When can you stop? When should you stop? Says the Gemara, ad haka, meaning until the person hits you. Okay, once he starts hitting you, then whoa, then that's it. I did my thing. I tried and finished. But it doesn't say until he kills you. So Melech Hur went too far. He rebuked, but obviously he rebuked too much to the point where they killed him. So since what he did was keneged the hilchas of Tokacha, therefore the Torah didn't want to write it explicitly, because we can learn the wrong lesson. This is not how you're supposed to do Tokacha. The Shlach Kodesh has a very similar idea. Legabe Avram Avinu, he has the same question, right? We have one of the tests of Avram is what? Ur Kastim, right? Nimrod threw him in the fiery furnace because he believed in one God and not in the idols, etc. He threw him in the furnace and he came out alive. Is that a nace? Yeah, something unbelievable? Yeah. So why didn't the Torah write it? Again, Ur Kastim, a fire, the hint to what? This should have been it. Also a fairish in the Torah. It's an unbelievable thing with Moser Nefesh for Hashem. Why is it left out? Only learned through Emes. So says the Shlach Kodesh, the same idea. He says because really Avram went too far also. Right? He brought upon himself to be thrown into the furnace. Why? He comes along, takes a stick, smashes all his father's idols, and he went a little bit too far. It was a little bit, you know, and as a result, he was taken and brought to Nimrod. He threw him into the furnace. He shouldn't have gone so far. He brought it upon himself, and therefore this is not the way to go. And therefore, that's why similarly here the Torah didn't want to record it, because Avram Avinu did not exactly do the right, take the right derech over here. He brought the being thrown in the furnace upon himself. When are you supposed to give up your life for, you know, the three cardinal sins? One is avodah zarah. If it comes to you, somebody comes up to you and says, here, but not if you bring it upon yourself, you know, you go breaking things and you just, it comes up, this guy comes, goy comes up and he says, bow down to Sarah, I'll kill you. Okay, you give up your life. But that if it comes to you. He makes a beautiful diuk by Rabbi Akiva. Right, when Rabbi Akiva was taken out to be killed, and flesh was combed, etc. So his Talmidim said, "Akan, you know, Rabbi." So he said, "Kol yamai isi mitzter al pasuk." I was always, you know, wanted to know when I'm going to mekayim the pasuk bechol nafshecha. Right, and what's his lashon? He says, "Matai yavoli yadi veakaymena." What's lavo yavoli yadi? When is it going to come to me to mekayim it? I want to mekayim bechol nafshecha, but I can't bring it upon myself. If it comes to me, I don't know if they're going to come to me, that they're going to come to me. Yeah. So, matai yavo liyadi. It has to come to me. Then you have to be moser nefesh. But Avram didn't come to him. He went to it, and he brought it upon himself. Mainly, that's why the Torah didn't want to record it. Okay. It says, Hamichtav Michtav Elokim Hu Charus Al Luchos, that the Luchos had the writing etched in it, Charus Al Luchos. A famous read in Pirkei Avos. The Midrash says, don't read it Charus, that it's etched in the Luchos, Ela Cherus. But says, as the Midrash, Cherus mi Malach HaMavos. That we were freed from the Malach HaMavos. What's the idea? Say the Chanukah Satorah, that the Mekubalim say, that they ask, why is it that the Aseres Hadibros, they begin, Vedaber Elokim Adri Mele Lemor? Why Elokim? Why not Hashem? Yudke Vavke. Why Vedaber Elokim? So they say, because there are, if you count how many Alephs there are in Aseres Hadibros, there are exactly 68 Alephs. What's significant about the number 68? It's the Gematria of Chaim. Okay? So therefore, that's why Hashem began Vedaber Elokim. Because if you would have said V'idaber Hashem, there's no Aleph in Yud Kei Vav Kei. And therefore, we've been missing one, and Hashem wanted to bring out the Indian of Torah is life, and therefore, He made sure He begins with an Aleph, Elohim, so there would be exactly 68 Alephs, which is a Remes Techayim. Mimele, he says, that's what the Midrash is telling us. It says, Napasuva Michtav Michtav Elohim Hu Charus Aluchos. The Michtav is Michtav Elohim, Elohim. Why does it say Elohim? Why doesn't it say Hashem? Altikra Charus Elacherus, that's the answer. What is Cherus? Says the Chazal, Cherus Mimalachamaves. In order that there should be 68 Alephs, and therefore, we have a freedom from the Malacham Aves. We have life. That's why it begins with an Aleph. Yes, after the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Klal Yisrael, asks for forgiveness. And he says, Ve'ata im tisach atasam, if you forgive them, good. V'imayin mecheni na misifrach asher kasafta. And if not, then wipe me out from the book that you wrote. The Midrash Shel Shem says in the name of the Mikubalim that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Noach. Why Noach? Because Noach's problem was he didn't daven for his door, Chazal tell us. He didn't daven for them. And therefore, he had to come back as a Gilgul to who? To Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Moser Nefesh and daven dafka for Klal Yisrael. To Misaken, to make a tikkun for Noach, who didn't daven for his door. So he says, beautiful. What's the words? He said, Mecheni na mi sifrach asher kasafta. Mecheni na is the same letters as what? Minoach ani. I'm from Noach. Mecheni na is the same letters as Minoach ani. I'm from Noach. And therefore, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over here. V'ata im tisach atasam, if you forgive them, good. V'imayin, if you don't forgive them, Hashem, mecheni na misifrach asher kasafta. Mecheni, I'm from Noach. My whole tachlis is here in this world. It's the misake Noach who didn't daven for his door, and I'm davening for them. So if you're not going to accept my tefillahs and lamali chayim, what good is all this? I'm only here in order to make this tikkun, to daven for them. So please, Hashem, forgive them. That is the end of tonight's shiur. We should go into Purim and Sameach v'Tov Lev and Layhudi Ma'aseh v'Simcha v'Son v'Ikar Kein Tiyelanu v'Vias Kol Tzedek Mimhir V'Yameinu.